Part 3, Chapter 4, Like Precious Faith. When we first arrived in Karaku, we met the Jamaican pastor of Karaku Evangelical Church. He and his family had been on Karaku for 1 year. He invited us to attend his church, so we did attend for a couple of Sundays. They had a praise service with a good message by a layman. A couple of people had tambourines, which they used with the choruses, but not with the hymns. The pastor announced that their church would be cooperating with the Pentecostal church for a series of meetings. Roland and I looked at each other with an understanding glance. We knew this could not be our church home. The pastor told us with his own lips that they were compromising. Though we longed to fellowship with the Lord's people, we had to be careful about establishing relationships, especially as we began the ministry of Harbor Light Radio. Did this little 13-square-mile island have any good fundamental churches? We learned that many churches were here. The Catholic Church was the main church on the island, with a small Catholic church in every village except Behind God's Back, which the locals called the area over the ridge on the Atlantic side of the island in Mount Pleasant and Grand Bay villages. A Methodist church, Church of Christ, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventists, and the Spiritual Baptists, which speak in tongues, deal in witchcraft, pray to the dead, etc., were also there. We knew we could not fellowship with any of those churches. We prayed and told the Lord, there surely must be some folks here who had the same like precious faith as we had. Who are they, Lord, and where are they? Meanwhile, we enjoyed listening to services on cassette tape from Hampton Park Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Our hearts still longed to worship with local believers of like precious faith. One Sunday afternoon, we decided to get better acquainted with the island and perhaps find a church by driving around the island. We could also keep our eyes open for some suitable land to be the home for the Harbor Light. We drove through the main town of Hillsboro, around toward the north end of the island, and through the village of Windward. This village was known for its boat building. Many of the people there were descendants of Scottish settlers and were of lighter skin than the other inhabitants of Karaku. Roland liked this area as there was quite a bit of marine activity there, and he thought it would be a nice area for building the Harbor Light. We continued driving around the eastern Atlantic coast of the island. We found ourselves driving through a wilderness and past a crumbling cemetery. Some of the graves had been planted near the sea many years ago and were now being washed into the water. We finally came out of the wilderness into another small village, Mount Pleasant. We wondered why it was named Mount Pleasant. It surely did not look pleasant at that time of the dry season. A couple of nice cement block houses were there, but most were small wooden houses. As we drove through the village, we saw a lady walking up the road in fine Sunday clothes. We stopped and asked her if she was coming from church. She said, "No, I just came from a graduation." "Is there a church in this area?" "No. Well, the priest comes to the school once a month." "But no church here?" "No. Oh, there is a little gospel hall up in Grand Bay." "Where is that?" "Just continue on this road until you come to a road going up the hill. That's Grand Bay Village. The church is up there." "Thank you very much. We'll try to find it." We did find a little gospel hall on Grand Bay Ridge. It was almost time for church that Sunday evening, so we decided to wait in the car until someone came and opened the building for the service. We waited until nearly 8 o'clock, but no one came to open the church. The sign above the door said they would have a service at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening, so we decided to come back on Wednesday. Wednesday night, we visited the church called the Gospel Hall, which is Plymouth Brethren, not United Brethren, up on the ridge at Grand Bay, next village to Mount Pleasant. We found this simple service very refreshing, and the people seemed to be of like precious faith. Only 4 adults and 3 children attended besides us, but we enjoyed the fellowship. They sang 2 familiar gospel songs, a cappella. They had no instruments in the church. We did not know if they did not believe in it or just did not have anything to use. No tambourines or hand clapping, etc. The leader of the assembly was Brother Isaac, and a blind man, Stephen Cox, shared a good Bible study from Matthew 16. He definitely knew the scripture, and everything he said was exactly what we believe. Brother Isaac invited Roland to say a few words, so he shared our purpose for being on Karakou. They did not seem to know much about radio, but seemed happy about our desire to spread the word of God in this area. We planned to visit again on Sunday morning and evening. On Sunday, July 17, 1988, we attended the Gospel Hall in Grand Bay again for both the morning and evening services. In the morning, they had communion. They did not offer it to us, perhaps because they were not sure where we stood spiritually. But after the evening service, Brother Isaac asked to speak with us. He wanted to know what church we came from and more about us. We also found out they would not compromise. He mentioned the Logos ship visiting Karakou. They went to one service and did not like what they heard, so did not go again or cooperate. They asked if we knew about the Pentecostal church in Hillsboro, with many more people than they had in their little assembly. They asked if we did not want to attend there. We told them we did not believe like the Pentecostals and could not fellowship with them. They seemed pleased to hear that. It was amazing to them that we came all the way over Top Hill, behind God's back, to their tiny group, but understood when we told them they were the only ones we had found who had like precious faith. Roland gave Brother Isaac a copy of our mission's brochure, and he appreciated our stand. The next Wednesday evening, we again attended the Gospel Hall for prayer meeting. After the service, Mr. Cox, the blind man, wanted to speak with us. He told us Brother Isaac read our Mission Arms brochure to him, and it sounded all right to him, and we were welcome to fellowship with them. He asked Roland if he would bring the gospel message Sunday evening in his place, and Roland said he would. We took part in the communion service the following Sunday morning. They have communion every Sunday, and it is the main part of the service. They have a short message, much prayer, and sing a couple of hymns. Some of the hymns were not familiar to us, but were very good, based solely on scripture and Bible doctrine. The brothers asked Roland to share something from scripture in the evening service, which he did. He told about Zacchaeus' encounter with Jesus, who, 1, sees us, 2, he knows us, 3, he wants us, and 4, he loves us. It was good. It was broadcast to the village via loudspeakers. They had their own broadcasting station right there in the little village of Grand Bay. God used it to share the gospel with neighbors who would not come to church. Several were saved in later years as a result. Two brethren evangelists visited Karakou and spent some time with us at our house. They shared some of the history and beliefs of the Plymouth Brethren with us. Some Brethren missionaries from Northern Ireland came to Karakou about 80 years before and established the Gospel Hall. The believers were later helped and encouraged by fundamental believers from England. They have continued to hold high standards according to the Word of God. They believe in baptism of believers by immersion after salvation and believe in eternal security. They believe in separation from the world and from unbiblical relationships. We found their doctrines are biblical and the same as we believe as fundamental Baptists. The main difference is their church government. They have several elders as the leaders of the assembly of believers and not pastors. They are independent, not associated with or members of any organization. These men strengthened our knowledge that we had found folk of like precious faith in Karakou. As we continue to work out the details of getting land for the Hopperlite, and as we explained the project to the two brothers at church, they became more excited to see what God would do. Brother Isaac told Roland they had been praying for 20 years that the Lord would do something spiritually for Karakou, and they believed the Hopperlite was God's answer. He asked Roland if we had the money we needed to build a station, and Roland told him, "No, brother, we have no money yet to build the station, but we know that God wants the station built, so we are trusting Him to provide all that we need." A few weeks later, Brother Isaac asked Roland to sit down with him after the service. He pulled an envelope out of his pocket and handed it to Roland. When he opened it, Roland gasped in surprise and joy. The envelope contained two checks, one in the amount of $3,000 and the other one for $5,000. Brother Isaac explained he had called the Karakou Christians in New York and told them about the Hopperlite, and they must all get behind this project. A group of the Christians in New York sponsored a bus tour to Philadelphia and sent the proceeds to the Hopperlite. The other check was from one Christian lady from Karakou. These funds were what we used to begin building our first building, the transmitter building. We had a contract to rent the bat house for 1 year, and the year was almost up. We wanted to move because we were still having trouble with the bats. We would also like to live closer to the Gospel Hall and to the land that seemed to be God's choice for the home for the Hopperlite. It was difficult to find a suitable place to rent. A few empty houses were around, but those were not available. They were furnished and owned by people in other countries working until they were able to retire and move back to Karakou. The folks at church also wanted us to be closer to them. Brother Isaac contacted his relations in England and told them about us and our project. They owned a house right there in Mount Pleasant and agreed to let us rent it if we did not mind them staying with us a few weeks when they came back to Karakou for a vacation. That house was a great blessing to us, as we took care of many teams who came to Karakou during the next few years to help us build the Hopperlite. The Lord had wonderfully answered our prayer for finding dear saints of like precious faith on the little 13-square-mile island of Karakou.